that you're going to need in a minute. So. We're up north. Coffee break. Amen. Well, I guess I'm stolen property this morning, so it's good to be here with you. And how many of y'all were at Youth Ablaze this weekend? How many of you are tired? Several of you kept your hands up. Well, tell you what, I'll try to keep you awake if you'll try to keep me awake this morning. And if somebody falls asleep, just throw a songbook at them or something and wake them up. Amen. Good to be in church. Good to be saved and washed in the blood. Amen. And I appreciate the Lord. He sure is good to us. And I'm glad I could be here with you this morning. Let's take our Bibles and go to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 12. Hebrews 12 will be our starting point this morning. And weather things have been a little backward because everybody's like, are you doing all right with the snow? Are you doing all right with the cold? I was looking at the security cameras at my house in Tennessee this morning. We still got snow on the ground. Not quite the amount of snow y'all have, but we got snow there, and it's actually a few degrees warmer here today than it is at my house. So I'm living large. I'm having a time. Amen. So this is good. All right. Hebrews chapter 12. Here's the difference, though. On Tuesday at my house, it's going to be 71 degrees. So ha! Bid farewell to all of this. I like coming up here, though. I enjoy the churches. I enjoy getting to meet you folks, and glad it worked out where we could come over this morning. All right, let's get into the Word of God this morning. Hebrews 12, look at verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We'll leave off reading right there for a moment. But the writer of Hebrews here, I believe Paul, if you disagree, that's fine. We'll still be friends, amen. But I believe Paul is writing here, and he likens the Christian life to a race. He uses a sports analogy. Now, I'd like to talk to you a little bit this morning about baseball. That may be a foreign concept up here. I don't know if y'all ever get enough, you know, dry ground, you know, to play baseball, but I'm sure you do at least a few weeks out of the summer, amen. But in baseball, there's a term we use called running the bases. This morning, I'd like to talk to you about running the bases. If you got a paper, something to write with, I want you to do something if you have it. If not, just listen, but it'll help you to have this visual. I'd like you to take that paper and a pen, whatever you have there, and I want you to draw a baseball diamond. Very simple, just draw out a baseball diamond as we look at this thing of running the bases. And I'll give you several thoughts concerning this. And man, I'm looking at verses 1 and 2 here, and I'd love to just dive right into the text and stay right here, but we're going to look at several places in the Scripture this morning. And we look first of all this morning at the stadium. Every sport has a stadium, an event center that they go to. And here in verse number 1, we're told that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. I don't believe these witnesses are witnesses of us. They're witnesses to us. Amen. I've taught it the other way. I've preached it the other way. And it dawned on me recently. How's heaven enjoyable if you have to look down and see how sorry we are sometimes? I know that messed up some of your theology right there because you think grandma and grandpa's in heaven watching over you and looking down over you. They're probably not. If you want to go on believing that, if that makes you feel good, that's fine. They're around the throne of God, y'all. They're worshiping the Lord. They're giving glory to God. Maybe every now and then the Lord says, hey, Joe, let me tell you what your son did. Let me tell you what your grandson did. You'd be grateful. You'd be thankful. Maybe, I don't know. I don't believe these witnesses are of us, in a sense that they're watching over us, but they are witnesses to us. They've run their race. They finished their race faithfully. And that ought to encourage us that if they can do it, so can we. It's not going to be easy, but we can. Now, on your paper there, if you've got your baseball diamond, I want you to put you a little first base on there. And by first base, I want you to write salvation. Because that's where it all starts. It starts at salvation, the Christian life. If you miss that, you've missed it all. I'm glad at 19 years old I quit playing church and I got saved. I grew up in church, grew up with a King James Bible, grew up with a godly mom and dad, Christian school. I just finished my second year of Bible college and I was sitting in a camp meeting out in Oklahoma and a preacher got to preaching one night. Man, I got under conviction and realized I'm lost. I'm just playing games. And I'm glad I got it settled. I'm glad I got saved. First base, salvation. Put you a second base there at the top of your diamond. And by second base, write sanctification. You do realize that after you get saved, the Lord has more for us between the point of salvation and the time we go home to be with the Lord. And that all works through this process of sanctification, growing in the Lord. And then there's third base. And by third base, I want you to write service. Our service for the Lord, our work and our labor for the Lord. Amen. Man, we're saved, we're blessed. There ought to be something in our heart that we want to do something for God. Not to make a name for ourselves. Not to get glory to ourselves. But to bring glory to the Lord God Almighty. And draw you right in the middle of your diamond, draw your little dash for a pitcher's mound. Anybody want to take a guess who the pitcher is in this thing? Who's trying to get you out? It ain't God. It ain't the preacher. What'd you say? Satan. Satan is the pitcher. He's the enemy. He's the opposing team. He wants to try to get us out. I think you don't have to write this down, but I'd say God the Father, He's the umpire. And so here's what happens in this stadium of life. All of humanity steps up to bat, and you know what happens? In and of ourselves, we all strike out. You know what happened? You know what I did for 19 years? I'd step up there and I'd grab that bat and here'd come the pitch. I'd swing. I'm a good person. Nope. Strike. Somebody else steps up. Well, you know, I go to church. I mean, I go to Emmanuel Baptist Bible Church. Strike. Somebody else. Well, you know, I got dunked in the baptistry. I got baptized. Boof. Strike. All strikes. But thank God some 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, He stepped up to the plate at the cross of Calvary and He got the job done. Amen. He said, "It is finished." Hallelujah. He did what I could not do, what you could not do. So we've got the stadium laid out here. Now let's look at the scenario. Jesus Christ, He's the one that hit the ball. Not me. Not you, but Jesus. But could I say it this way? We're running for Jesus. He's back with the Lord now. He's at the right hand of the Father. We're running for Jesus. So you've got first base there, salvation. Write this down by salvation or under it. Put family. Family. Salvation puts you in the family of God or the body of Christ. The household of faith. I'm glad this morning that I'm in the family of God. Ain't that a blessing? And I know we're not perfect, but I tell you what, God's people are the best people on the planet. I believe that with all my heart. Well, somebody hurt my feelings at the church, or somebody did this, or somebody did that. They looked at me the wrong way. The preacher didn't shake my hand. I ain't going back there because they hurt my feelings. Well, they hurt my feelings every time I go to Walmart, but I keep going back for some reason. Go to Philippians chapter number 2. As we consider this matter of salvation and being in the family of God, Philippians chapter number 2. And verse number 12. Philippians 2:12, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He said, work out your own salvation. He didn't say work for your salvation. You want to know how to end up in hell when your life here is over? Just work for your salvation. And you'll stand before God, I never knew you. But he did say work out your salvation. It was God that worked it in, but now we are to work it out. And so salvation puts you in the family of God. And I'm glad to know once you're in His family, you'll never be out of His family. You may still sin. You may have, bad days. You may fail miserably in this thing of the Christian life, but you will never be unsaved ever again. Now, I don't want to fail God. I don't want to go out here and sin presumptuously. Amen. That's not my heart. That's not my desire. I want to do my best for the Lord. But if I blow it today, I'm still His child. I am in the family of God because I'm saved. All right, after salvation though, there needs to be some growth. We need to grow to full maturity. So second base we said is sanctification. Write this by sanctification, fellowship. Sanctification and fellowship, they go hand in hand. Our fellowship with God, our fellowship with the brethren. There's going to have to be some sanctification for the fellowship to be what it should be. Because you can be in the family of God, but not in fellowship with God. If you have a wayward child, you know what it is to be out of fellowship with that child. Some boy or girl that's gone off to the far country. But they're still your child. But they're not sitting where they ought to be sitting at the dining table. They're not sleeping in the bed in the bedroom they ought to be sleeping in. And so while I am saved for eternity, amen, it is possible to get out of fellowship with the Lord, but this matter of sanctification will help maintain our fellowship. This is where we spend time getting to know God. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 that I may know Him. Paul was already a saved man. He had already had his experience on the road to Damascus. He had already served the Lord for many years, and he said, that I may know Him. In other words, he said, there's some things about God I still want to learn and get to know Him. I've been married to my wife. By the way, if y'all don't know, my wife's name's Stormy. That's her real name. My last name's Waters, so you do the math there. Amen. Stormy Waters, but we've been married almost 24 years, and there's still things I'm learning about Stormy Waters. And I like what I'm learning. Y'all tell her I said that, amen? She may not feel the same way about me, but I like what I'm learning about her. But it's the same way with the Lord. I don't know everything about the Lord I need to know yet. And so I want to continue to grow. That. So we do that through church attendance, through studying the Bible, through prayer, through personal holiness. There needs to be some fellowship. And so we have this matter of sanctification. And then go to third base where you have service. And write down fruit. I don't know about you. I want to bear some fruit for the Lord. Amen. I want to be a fruitful believer. If we got enough fruity Christians, we need some fruitful Christians. Amen. Go to Colossians 1. You're right there close by. Colossians 1. In verse number 9. Paul said, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So as believers, we ought to be saved, sanctified, and we ought to be servants. We ought to have some fruit for the Lord. I don't want to stand before God at the judgment seat empty-handed. I don't want to stand there. I mean, everybody says, oh, I want to hear him say, well done. Well, if you're going to hear him say, well done, you're going to have done well. Well, preacher, nobody's perfect. I'm not arguing with you. But that attitude, that's going to keep you from being the Christian you ought to be. Listen, I can make the statement, hey, y'all, nobody's perfect. True. But when you hear somebody say it with the attitude, well, I ain't nobody perfect. That's how they say it where I live. Ain't nobody perfect. You know what they're saying? I like my sin. Don't you judge me because of my sin. Don't you preach at me because of my sin. I have no intentions of repenting of my sin. I'm going to keep doing it, and you just leave me alone. And that same crowd, after a few years, will end up in the pastor's office sitting there in tears. What happened? I don't know how I got here. I tell you how I got. Well, ain't nobody perfect. That's how you got there. No, I may not be perfect, but I sure want to strive for perfection. It's not a bad goal, y'all. Now, I don't want to be a Pharisee. I don't want to get self-righteous and lifted up with pride. I want to do my best for the Lord. And I have everything I need as a child of God to do my best for Him. No excuses. All right, let's add a little bit to this. All right, go back to first base, salvation. And salvation, family, write this down. Salvation is Christ for you. Christ for you. He did it. He went to the cross. He shed perfect, precious blood. He made a way to heaven and to the Father. He did that for you. If you're lost here today, He did that for you. And He wants you to be saved. Salvation, Christ for you. Go back to second base, sanctification. That is Christ in you. It is Christ working in you. Go to the book of Galatians after you write that down. Galatians chapter number 1. I'm glad that after we're saved, the Lord continues to work in us. Even though He's done the work of salvation, I'm glad He's working in us. Galatians 1 and verse 15, Paul said this, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace, to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." Paul was saved, sanctified, and then sent out to do a work for God. And he says after he's saved, he said in verse 16, to reveal His Son in me. It is after salvation, it is after we've been converted that God, He just starts revealing Himself so that we can grow closer to Him. The revelation of Christ in the heart of a believer, it follows conversion. It never precedes it. That's what the Calvinists teach. They teach that revealing precedes it, but it does not. It's after you're saved that God starts to grow you. Amen. So He was saved, sanctified, and sent, and that is the proper order. So go to third base and service and write this, Christ through you. Christ through you. Salvation is Christ for you. Sanctification is Christ in you. But service is Christ working through you. He wants to do a work not only for you and in you, but He wants to do a work through you. What happened this week at Youth Ablaze and Brother Eddie and Brother Tony and Brother Caleb and all the people that sang and all that, you say, what is that? That's Christ working through you. Now, if you're all about yourself, it's not Christ working through you. It's just you working in the energy of the flesh. And there is a lot of that that goes on in the church world. A lot of singing, a lot of preaching, a lot of teaching. A lot of it is done in the energy of the flesh, and it's all about the man. But I'll tell you this, God does want to work through you. But when He's doing the work through you, He's the one that gets the glory. Amen? He's the one that deserves it. We're not Christ's replacement, so you can throw that out with the Pope. Amen? Sounds like, from what I've been reading, he's about to meet the Lord face to face, and it probably ain't going to go good for him if he don't get saved. We are not Christ's replacement, but we are His representative. What the Bible says, we are ambassadors for Christ. We're His representative, and He wants to work through us. Now, let me spend a few minutes this morning looking at the importance of running the bases in the correct order, the proper order. You know, in baseball, it does matter which base you go to, the order you run them. You don't just get to say, I think I'll go to third base today. There's rules. Every sport has rules. I'm always amazed at people that get in church and they start to grow a little bit, but all of a sudden they put the brakes on because y'all got too many rules around here. And I know Christianity, it's not just a set of rules. I get that. But there are some demands this Bible puts on us. And nobody has a problem. Nobody has a problem down at the school when they say, if you want to play on our ball team, here's the uniform you have to wear. And here's our code of conduct. Everybody just jumps in line and says, you got it. Amen. You work a job, there's a standard there. There is some sort of standard, a code of conduct. If you're going to work for our company, here's what we expect of you. But then we preach the Bible and people get, well, I don't like that. I don't like that. Well, you don't just get, this ain't a buffet. This ain't Golden Corral. Do y'all have Golden Corral in New York? This ain't Golden Corral, y'all. When I was growing up, you ate what Mama fixed. Whatever she put on your plate, you ate it. And you better not even say you didn't like it. Not one time did Mom, you know, spend all evening cooking in the kitchen and get that spread out on the table and me say, I don't like that. Okay, well, let me put you a pizza in the microwave or a corn dog. Oh, that didn't go on at our house. You ate what was on your plate whether you liked it or not. And sadly, that mentality has bled over into the church world where it's like, well, I like that, but I don't like that. Just learn to eat what's on your plate, whether it tastes good or not. Usually I have found it's the stuff that tastes the worst. It's really the best for you. Doesn't matter how you run the bases. I think, you know, over there, Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. I think that man Nicodemus, and I ain't got time to turn there and read all that, but I believe he would represent somebody who would lean toward a work salvation. And so you know what he's going to do? He's going to run straight to third base. He's going to run straight over here to service. Look what I've done. And you know what? He's out. He may be firmly planted on third base, but he's out. He may have had good intentions. You know, somebody hits the ball and they decide, I'm going to run to third base. They might have looked good running to third base. Their uniform may have looked nice. They might have even been sincere, but they're out. Because you didn't go in the proper order. So you know what Pentecostalism says? Just get over here. I mean, speak in tongues. Pray for the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. They got that all wrong. They don't understand the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And if they had any idea what John was talking about that baptism of fire, they sure wouldn't have been praying for that. But there they are. But they're out. Church of Christ, just run over here and let us dunk you in the water. Okay, you're out. The Methodists, just come over here and let's all be good to our neighbors and be nice and kind and donate to charity. Okay, but you're out. All those people that run to third base first, they're going to stand before God one day with all their good works. Well, I did this, I did that, I did this. Even Baptists, I know Baptists as a whole, we have the gospel right. That's what we got that right. But even in our Baptist churches, I think there's people that are like, well, let me run over third base and I'm a member of the church. My name's on the church roll. Come on. Yeah, but you're going to stand before God one day, and the question is your name on His roll? Because that's what's going to matter. So you got all these people running straight to third base and there they stand so proud. but they don't know God. Oh, they may know about God, but they don't know Him. Matthew 7:22 said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. But he said, depart from me, I never knew you. Now you take somebody who's a little bit more philosophical, you know where they're going to go? They're going to go straight to second base. They're going to run straight to sanctification. Look at what I've learned. Oh, I've been doing a lot of reading. I've been reading about church history or maybe even Baptist history, and I've been doing these in-depth studies. And I'm all for study. Paul admonishes us to be students of the Word, but that's not enough. Your intellect is not enough. It's where a lot of Calvinism is pushing people. Hey, let's just go to second base and show everybody how smart and intellectual we are. The elect. Or it could even be fundamentalists. Let's get to second base and, man, let's dress right and we ain't going to go here and we ain't going there. We ain't going to partake of this and listen to that and watch that. And, man, we're gonna get cleaned up. Come on. And I'm for standards. I'm 100% for convictions. But in and of themselves is not enough. If you're not careful, you'll get to second base and you'll have all your standards. I mean, men, your hairline will be right. Ladies, your hemline will be right. And you got all these standards, but there you stand in your own self-righteousness. And you're out. I'm not making light of standards this morning, but they're not enough. We got this in our independent Baptist movement sometimes. It's like an attitude of competitive sanctification. You say, what is that? It's like the guy that said, man, I went and saw the Grand Canyon. Oh, yeah? Well, I jumped the Grand Canyon. That goes on in fundamentalism. Well, we don't do this or we don't wear that. Let me tell you what I do and don't do. That's a bunch of garbage, y'all. Look, man, you get you some standards from the Word of God and try to live a holy, separated, godly life for God. Not to try to impress everybody else in the church or to intimidate anybody else in the church. That's not what it's about. All our righteousness are filthy rags. Now, we're Bible-believing Baptists, and I'd say Baptists in general, even those that may not be Bible-believing Baptists, they do tend to preach the gospel right. We got that. You go to first base. You want to be born again? Get to first base where it's Christ for you, realizing it's not of yourself, but it's Christ. But even here's an area where I think a lot of fundamentalists, a lot of Bible believers, we even get this wrong, I think. We have a tendency to run people from first base to third base, and we completely miss second base. When I was a boy growing up, there was a phrase you'd hear a whole lot in fundamental churches. It was, win them, wet them, work them. Sounds good, but I'm afraid what we did is a lot of people might have really got saved and followed the Lord in believers' baptism, but we put them to work so soon and they don't even understand the basics of Christianity. They need to spend some time at second base, getting to know God. Learn more about Him. Let Him start working in you. And a lot of that crowd that gets saved, but they get full of this zeal that they just, I mean, they're ready to do everything right away. A lot of that crowd burns out quick. You say, why do they burn out? Because they never got to Christ in you. So they're over there at third base and it's not Christ through you. Our service for the Lord should be the result of a relationship, not the reason for it. Amen. It ought to be a result of. And I believe it was Charles Finney, he said, if you'll realize you're a son first, then you won't view your service as a duty, but as a delight. It'll be something you enjoy, not something I have to do, something I get to do. If you skip second base, sanctification, and go straight to third, You'll get lifted up with pride. It'll be all about, look what I'm doing. Look what I've accomplished. But you know what I found out? If you'll go to second base and spend a little time there and then go to third, you won't even care who gets the glory when the work is accomplished. Maybe nobody saw what you did. Maybe nobody applauded you for what you did. Maybe you never got the Flame Award at Youth Ablaze, but you know what? It won't matter because you'll say, hey, the work's being done. God's being glorified. Hallelujah. Amen. I know, give honor to whom honor is due. There's a time and place for that. I'm for that. But if you got the right heart, it's not going to be about that. So let me say this, the pitcher, Satan, he's still trying to get you out even after you're saved. He can still take your joy, your testimony, your assurance. So he's still trying to get you out. So you know what you've got? You got in baseball, you've got a third base coach. And what he does, he stands over there and he's telling you to come on, or stay right there. Or stay here on third, or no, you need to run home, you can make it. He's looking at the whole situation. He's looking at what the runner can't see. And so he's there to help him. You say, who's that? That's your preacher, your pastor. God will give you a pastor to help you in this thing. Not only do you have the Lord in you, you've got the Spirit of God leading and guiding and directing. You got the Word of God, but He'll give you a preacher. And that preacher will say, hey, you need to stay right there for right now. Stay on first for a little bit. Just rejoice in your salvation for a little bit. Or hey, you're doing good at second base, but you're not ready for third base yet. Just stay right there for a little longer. You're not ready for that Sunday school class yet. You're not ready for that ministry. You're not ready, preacher boy, to go out and pastor yet. Just stay right here for a little bit. A little bit more growing to do. Or he may be saying, hey, come on. You've been there long enough. It's time to move on. So he'll help you. Let me say this. If you don't get to third base at some point in your Christian life, you're going to die spiritually. You do need to get to third base at some point. Start laboring for the Lord. If you hang out at second base, you know what you're doing at second base? You're taking stuff in. You know what you do at third base? Stuff's working out. Through service. If all you do is sit on second base and take in all that knowledge and all that learning, but you don't do anything with it, you'll get spiritually constipated. Amen. Is that plain enough? You know why the Dead Sea's dead? Because water flows in, but it doesn't have an outlet. Nothing's going out. Do you realize if all you do is go to Golden Corral and eat and eat and eat and eat and eat? And I'll be reverent here. If nothing's coming out at some point, you're going to be in trouble. You're going to be in the hospital. At some point, you're going to be dead. But it's the same way in the Christian life. Yeah, we need to absorb. We need to take in. But it's that third base, that service, where we're doing something. That's the problem with Calvinism. It's not that those men aren't smart. Some of them are very intellectual. Some of them may even genuinely be godly and love the Lord, okay? But there's no evangelism. There's no outreach. And that's why their churches are so dead. Well, they may come to church and feel really smart. They probably all sit in church like this, you know. Let me chew on my glasses a little bit and look intellectual. Bill Grady. Y'all know Brother Bill? Brother Bill, he's intellectual. But not a snooty intellectual. He's a spirit-filled man, I believe that. But man, he's intimidating to preach in front. I'm just a country boy, man. And I look out at Brother Bill and he's just, you know, I'm like, he's grading me. He's got his pen out. Brother Bill's grading my message, you know. But he's doing the work for God. A lot of this intellectual crowd, they just want to hang out at second base and not move on and do anything else. And they're dying. They're smart, but they're dying. Yeah, there's just something about just wanting to do something for God and see sinners saved and do some street preaching and some passing out tracts and supporting missions. There's something about evangelism. It just stirs a fire inside of you. And it'll keep you going. It'll keep you shouting. It'll keep you singing. It'll keep you full of joy. I tell you, the churches that have the joy of the Lord, they're the ones that are trying to do something to get the gospel to somebody else. All right, let's finish up here. Let's look at the strategy. How do we do this? How do we run this race? How do we run the bases? Go to Hebrews chapter 12. We looked at the order. You got to run them in the proper order. But here's how we can do it faithfully. Hebrews 12, we read it earlier, but look at verse number 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You know what happens after you first base, second base, third base? Where do you go from there? You go home. And hallelujah, one of these days, brother and sister, we are going home. After all the running, after all the laboring, after all the tears and different things we go through in this Christian life as we're running the bases, I'm glad one day, amen, we are going home and we're going to see the one who got it all started in the first place. It all started with Jesus. And it ends with Jesus. It didn't start with me and it didn't end with me. It didn't start with you and it doesn't end with you. It's all about Him. You say, preacher, it's hard sometimes. I get tired. I get weary in the way. And you know, I get weary in well-doing and I'm trying to do right. And I still have problems and trials and people will break your heart along the way and church problems and all these different things. How do we do it? Keep your focus on Jesus. He's the one that went to Calvary and bled and died for you. Just keep your eyes on Him and thank God one of these days when it's all said and done, we're going to see Him face to face. It will be worth it all when we see Christ. Hallelujah. So just run faithfully, keeping your focus on Him. And you can do whatever it is God's called you to do in your life. You can do it. Just look into Him. Lord, I pray You'll take these simple thoughts and I pray they'll be a help to somebody here today. Might be somebody just struggling with some areas in their life, just got things a little bit out of order. Maybe today my prayer is that this helps them to get things in order. And we do know You're a God of order. And so I pray this was a help to the church today. Pray You bless the worship service. Help us to lift high Your name. And I pray that sinners would be saved. Pray that Your people would be drawn closer to You, that we'd be more like You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.